How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
An Erio's original.
I am a glutton for punishment, so I watched Contagion and I started watching some of those pandemic movies. I feel better seeing how bad it can be, and I'm like, all right, well, that's terrible. Like, I watched War of the Worlds on Epix, which was very dark, and I was like, all right, this is better than aliens taking over and killing everyone. So I like have to like make it like a rational sort of thing and make everything relative.
Hi, this is Margaret Cho. You're listening to The Margaret Cho. Today we have a great guest, a friend of mine and such an amazing author and just super cool, Jenny Lee.
Hi, Margaret.
Hi.
Where are you?
I'm in my backyard.
Oh, nice.
I have a lot of furniture back here now. I'm trying to make another like environment for myself other than my house because I was getting like
stir
depression.
Crazy. Yeah.
I was getting like serious, like starting to think like what is happening? Like I mean, it was Groundhog Day and it was that kind of thing of like, I'm doing the same thing over and over. And so I have to create some different environments for myself. And I'd already been working on this outdoor area and it just got so hot. And so I just sort of sped up my, environments. So right. Now I have an outdoor kind of an office, which is helpful. And so Lucia and I are out here. How does Gemma like the heat? Does Gemma like...
Gemma doesn't like the heat. It's Gemma, my 135-pound Newfoundland. She's not a big walker anyway. She's super lazy, which is why I picked her. So like during the day, she'll only like go out to use the bathroom. And then at night, always, even when it's in the winter, we only walk her at night. And then she'll only do like 10, 15 minutes. So I feel like she's been getting even less than that now, so I feel bad. But I just bought a treadmill, and I was like, I wonder if we could train her to walk. I've seen dogs on treadmills, but I don't
yeah,
know.
Yeah, it's so cute. I mean, I don't think, I'm not sure if Lucia would walk on a treadmill. She's so, I don't know if she could be trained to walk. Maybe she could. They're so cute when they walk on treadmills, though. The dogs are so, it's so adorable. But I have a Peloton bike, which is very helpful, but yeah, it's like I can't believe how much I want to go to the gym. It's really creepy because I hate going to the gym, but I actually really want to,
just to see
when
people.
You're forced not to.
I know. I heard that Peloton bike sales went up like 30,000 units sold like in since this thing started. Like they're just like had a huge spike because everyone was buying those bikes. And so I was debating that or a treadmill, and I decided that like my husband didn't want to use a bike, so I was like, I thought a treadmill would be better for us.
Yeah, it's just a very good, it's a very good thing. Like, it's just good to have anyway. And I like the workouts, and it's definitely just something, it's something that helps. I mean, it's also like anything that I have that's physical, it really has not a lot to do with just physical activity. It has more to do with just staving off depression,
right,
which is my main problem, I think, in anything, is that if I stay motionless for too long, I have a really difficult problem with like mood and depression. Totally. And so I have to keep on moving. And I don't know. I think I realized throughout this, like how much of a workaholic I am, how much of an extrovert I am. And it's crazy. You know, when, you know, we, you and I have been talking and we work together and we're like, right, what do we do? Like, it's such a weird thing.
It's such a weird, like, the first 4 weeks I was super mopey and like, we didn't have the treadmill then and I was like hanging out and then my book tour had gotten canceled. And so I was just like bummed out from that. And then we didn't know the scale and I was reading the news obsessively and then my mood totally tanked. And I was like worried. I was like, I'm not going to be able to handle this, which is when I was like, I have to do something. And hence I bought that treadmill 2 weeks ago because I needed it. Because I was like, we're not ever leaving the house. Like we have a decent size apartment, like 1700 square feet. So there's separation.
Yeah.
But it's not huge. And I've never been so jealous of outdoor space and a yard ever. Mm-hmm. Like we have a balcony, but it's overlooking like a crappy alley that like, you know, you just see nothing. So
yeah. Well, I mean, it's like, I think no matter how big your space is or what you have, everybody's like just tired of being wherever they are. Even these, right, even people with mansions, which is like, that's super gross too. It's like people with their giant mansions, like sick of being, you know, in their spaces. I mean, everybody's really dealing with the monotony of their own environments and having to change up whatever it is, you know. Right. And
are you seeing anyone?
I have. Are you by yourself? I'm by myself. I have one person who is very special.
Okay.
Who I have seen a few times, a couple times.
Right.
Which is really nice. But that's it. I mean, it doesn't feel so isolating because I'm basically on Zoom all day long with these, like, either podcasting or kind of business meeting stuff, things. I think in entertainment also there is such a real frenzy to try to make sense of who we are in this isolation, you know, because I think the entertainment industry or anybody who works in any sort of artistic profession like this, you know, any sort of creative thing, like we just can't really make sense of time that isn't monetized,
right?
You know,
no, I get it.
You know, you don't have a sense of like somebody who actually like goes in and like essential workers are, you know, they have a sense of like time, work, and ethics and need and strife, and I mean it's like you really see like what's really important, but like, for somebody like, you know, an influencer, an actor, a musician, an artist, like writers, all of us, like we just sort of like we have a different cause and different applications in society. So it's like we have to figure out where we are needed, I guess. And it's very interesting.
Yeah, I find it interesting, too, because like that first month when I wasn't doing anything, I realized how much I used to work right at home, even like my last year because of the book and then our TV project and I have another TV project and like a feature project. I was working like 10, 12 hours a day, no problem in my apartment, lock myself, and I'm still in the same place. So I'm like, I don't know why this is different. And then like in that first 4 weeks, honestly, I do like it maybe 2 hours of work and I'm like, I'm exhausted. I can't do anything. Or I was so distracted. Yes. And I was like, that was also kind of stressing me out too. And I was like, oh my God, what if I can't work in this new environment, like that I need the outside stimulus. Like you never think about it really. You're like, oh, how much you need other people and like to like kind of make you want to be at home sometimes to work. You know what I mean? You're like, oh, I have social time and I have home time. So it's been kind of fascinating.
It's almost like the trappings of life kind of package how you're going to look at a situation or how you're going to look at a job in a sense. You know, it's like, the exterior of my life package what this job is or what this project actually is. And then, you know, so it's like you can put the constraints of the job or what that means, that creative job or what that application is, onto what that means in hours per day. Right. You know, whereas if it's so free floating where we don't even know when the next meeting is going to be for this, we don't know when the next day of like script is going to be due or when we're actually going to shoot, then it's just so unrestricted. Like there's no real pattern to what's going to happen, that it's just too hard to commit to anything mentally.
Right.
It's almost too fluid.
Yeah. It's too much. It's too amorphous. So you can't like ground yourself in like every due date. You don't know when it is. I know. I'm finding I had definitely the same. I adjusted my meds like that second 4 weeks, and then that helped me too. Cause I was like, I have to like ground myself in something. So I'm trying to come up with a structure a little bit, but I don't know.
Right.
I'm doing better, I guess. I mean, I feel a little bit better, even though I read the news less a little bit, like every day, but I was reading it obsessively all day. And that was like making me nuts.
Yeah, I started to remove myself from the news, and then I started to go backwards a little bit in terms of media. Like I started to go, okay, I'm not going to watch any movies from this decade. And then I started to go backwards to, I'm not going to watch any movies from like 1950 on. And then I started to go backwards. I'm not going to watch any color movies. And then I started to go backwards. I'm not going to watch any movies after Humphrey Bogart died. I was like, I'm not going to watch any movies with sound. And then I was like, I'm not going to look at any paintings after Monet. Like, I really started to regress. And, you know, so I got back to sort of impressionist painting, and I started to think about, like, how if you really can look at like sort of pictures and art and really try to look light and not be so judgmental about things and just try to like absorb beauty as it comes and not get so upset about things. So now I'm going forward a little bit. And so now I'm watching Grave of the Fireflies. So I'm in a happy medium of Studio Ghibli movies.
Right.
So I think that's probably, you know, like maybe I could watch My Neighbor Totoro, or My Friend Totoro, or, you know, those are sort of like Spirited Away. That so I can like slowly move back towards TMZ.
Sort of funny. I did like a little bit of the opposite, which is like every time I turned on regular contemporary TV shows, I was like, you know, everyone's hugging and kissing and shaking hands. I was like, I can't watch this. It doesn't look real anymore. When in the early days of the pandemic, I guess we're in week 8. So I could only watch like sci-fi, futuristic, and I am a glutton for punishment. So I watched Contagion, and I started watching some of those pandemic movies that you can find. You find a lot of them. Like there were all these virus movies on Netflix and Amazon. My husband like always watches the beginning and then bows out. And he's like, I can't take it. But I just like want, I feel better seeing how bad it can be. And I'm like, all right, well, that's terrible. Like I watched War of the Worlds on Epix, which was very dark. And I was like, all right, this is better than aliens taking over and killing everyone. So I like have to like make it like a rational sort of thing and make everything relative to be like, we should be grateful for what we have because aliens are
right. Killing us. Well, anything like that's actually, I think what prepares us for all of this is anything zombie apocalypse. Because all of the sort of zeitgeisty zombie apocalypse fandom is really all about pandemic stuff.
Yes.
Because zombies are contagious. They are basically anybody that sort of comes in contact with a zombie becomes a zombie. And, you know, like you just have to stay away from them. And that's like all it is. And so all the zombie movies can sort of prepare you for...
Right.
COVID, all of it is like really about that. I think what is really kind of like even worse, if you could make the pandemic worse, is the pylon of racism directed towards Asian Americans on top of it. Right. And that is like the most alarming thing of all. It's like we were just starting to get a leg up on kind of understanding our place in Hollywood and a multicultural Hollywood, or starting to maybe sort of have a setting at the table in terms of entertainment. And so to have that sort of as a setback is really, it's a very difficult situation.
I know, it's a little disappointing. I do think that because like Hollywood is so liberal that they'll try to like fight against it. I'm hoping it'll go reverse and they'll like double down and be like, we got to make sure we integrate even more for the sake of like the world and like Asian Americans. You know what I mean? Versus like, hopefully. I mean, it's hard to say because people have asked me and I was like, I don't see anyone. So I have no idea if anyone would be would be racist to me. I don't really think in Los Angeles because we're like so in the city, but like my mom lives in Nashville, Tennessee, and I'm a little bit worried about like, I mean, granted, I'm sending her groceries, so she's not leaving her house, but I am a little bit worried when she goes out there, like whether she'll have to deal with that. So it's a little
stressful. I know. It's so weird. It's like, who would, I don't even know, like, I don't even go out, so I don't even know what would happen. But I do know that, like, there was some doctor, an Asian American doctor in New York who was, he was going out with a GoPro strapped to his head, like, on top of his head, just to capture anything going on. And I thought, what a great idea. You know, that's so smart.
Right.
But that, you know, it's just something that there's a consciousness around. And I talked to Randall Park yesterday, and he was saying he has his camera ready. Like, his phone is, like, on, like, ready to go. Like, anytime he's, like, at the store, you know, just, like, paranoid something's going to happen. And it's just, like, I don't know. I mean, I think anything can happen.
Right.
Even in LA.
Yeah.
Anything can happen.
Yeah. I keep hearing from friends that, like, people are really on edge in the grocery store. I have, like, friends in, like, Maplewood, New Jersey, and they, like, you know, her husband went to the store and very innocent sort of confrontation. He grabbed the wrong cart by accident. That person freaked out and shoved him. I mean, it's like nuts. I mean, he's not Asian, but I'm just saying in general, like everyone is so tightly wound when they're out that I think it's just ripe for like any little blow up. So
yes.
Unfortunately.
And then everybody's on edge. Everybody's like, you know, and they're all enduring it in their own levels of like anxiety. I think for me in my age group, I think we're all sort of like under, for me, it's kind of like a weird PTSD too of the second Cold War, you know, the Russians are coming. It's like the day after, like it's like the 1980s after the nuclear war, post-apocalyptic kind of thing. Like there was a movie called Testament in the 80s that I think it starred Jane Alexander. It was also all about the nuclear fallout after this World War III and having to live without so many things. And it's not like that exactly, but it is sort of that post-apocalyptic thing, or people were living in bomb shelters and stuff. So it's that sort of fantasy, I guess, that's sort of what's happening in a way. So that's sort of
fear. That we could actually get there. I mean, if like things start going south, you know, or sideways from here, which we don't know. I think that's
I don't know. It's like, it's not as if we have a threat of losing things like streaming services or internet or power or water or those kinds of things. I mean,
right. I just read last week, again, being a glutton for punishment, this new thriller that came out called The End of October, which happened to be a pandemic novel that literally just came out 2 weeks ago. And it was like, talk about good timing for a novel, right? Like you write a pandemic novel, he finished it a year and a half ago and it's coming out in the middle of a pandemic. So it's like, I keep thinking, I was like, oh, it's good news and it's bad news. It's good for the book. It's bad because we're living in a pandemic. So that one goes very, very wrong. And so I read it in like 2 days and that one just like everything started escalating. And then like people started blaming like same thing that's going on here, like that you released it from a lab and then Russia got involved and then like the Middle East and then wars, you know, it just, it was kind of stressful because that one went very wrong. And then they ended up with no internet and people were trading pearls for food. And then I really started thinking, I was like, oh, are you not stockpiling food or hoarding, but are you saving up extra food for like just in case, or are you just kind of like not going there?
Oh yeah, I mean there's definitely extra food, but not just in case. It's more just extra food because there's always extra stupid food because we're Korean.
Right.
So there's always stupid food for whatever reason. There's just so much food all the time. I mean there's just food forever. I mean, there's always going to be food. It's just insane how much food there is. And it is always going to be that way. And it doesn't really have anything to do with the pandemic or not. I am always chock full of food, no matter what. But it's not really that. It's more, for me, it's more like mental health and like depression stuff and a kind of thing of like, how do I maintain a sense of sanity and lightness and joy and really like working hard at that, because I can really go into a deep, dark place, especially alone. And so I have to really like try to attain a kind of brightness, and I work very hard at it.
Right.
So that's my main focus. And so I really work hard at trying to not be hard on myself about being productive,
right.
Which I can get really driven of like, oh, I've got to do this. I've got to do that. And I'm just like, I'm not going to do it.
Right.
I'm not going to force myself into it.
Yeah, I'm trying to be better about that too. And I feel like my days are just shorter. I'm like, all right, I did enough for today. Like every day is a victory if like I got a certain amount done. And exactly the same as you, because I'm being very Korean and type A. I'm like, everything has to get done. I'm always worried about like deadlines. But here I'm like, I have to, I don't know, I'm so distracted. It's like, I can't believe how slow my output is. It's taking me much longer to do everything, especially to be, I mean, it's just being creative. I mean, I think if you're not in the right headspace, it's impossible almost to be creative sometimes.
Yeah. It's really hard. It's really hard. And it's just like, I get so worried, and then it's so, it's like so toxic. And I think like the worry isn't going to help. It's like worry, I think in my family, is like a religion. Like worry is some kind of like a weird pastime where they just like to think of like the worst case scenario and think of like what ifs. And it's just like fun for them. Like my aunts would just like love to just say, oh, no, oh, what if, oh. If somebody's late, they like to just say, what if this happened and what if that happened? No, but oh, you know, or they like to talk about the terrible things or that happened when somebody jumped in the swimming pool. Like they like the people that broke their neck, and then the family. Do you remember those people? They just got married, and then and then like there's always some people that like, they always break their neck in the swimming pool. And it's just like, you know, there's some always like bad luck thing happening. And so if I can just really just enjoy the fact that it's a beautiful summer beginning early in LA, and that I actually just have free time to live in my home with my dog, I can just enjoy my food. I wish that I could just allow myself to enjoy it. It's weird. It's hard to, though. It's hard to just, like, enjoy things.
Have you picked up anything, like new habits? Like, this is, like, so small, but I'm like, we never really ate yogurt before. I don't know why. We just, whatever. I just was not a big yogurt eater. And suddenly, like, yogurt and, like, fruit and berries is becoming, granola has become this big thing. And I feel like some weird habits of like just eating habits mainly have kind of started to switch, because I've never, you know, I don't really cook. So having to be responsible for all our food all the time is like kind of crazy to me. That's the biggest switch. I mean, my refrigerator has never been so full of food. I have never had run the dishwasher so many times, like ever in my entire adult life.
I do love yogurt. I do love granola. And I got a new face, which I love. A new face is like this thing that's like microcurrents. Okay. And it's electrical. It's so weird. It's two metal balls. And then you put it on your face, and it takes about 20 minutes or something. It's like there's two or three different attachments. I only have the one. And there was a big Sephora sale, but I got it in it. I was like, I don't want to spend any money, but I'm fucking rouge. So I just, like, every year I get duped into buying a dumb thing. But I got it, and it's like a giant thing that you put on your face, and then it's like, I don't know what it does, but it sort of zaps your face. And so I put it on, and it's like, you know, it's 20 minutes a day. Normally, I would never do anything like that for 20 minutes a day, but I have the 20 minutes. So I've been doing it every single day. And I don't know what it's doing, but it's kind of fun for me to just put this thing on my face for 20 minutes a day. And it's really exciting. I don't know if it's doing anything, but I like it.
Is it a full mask? Like, I don't understand. It's like,
No, it's not like it's not like that Iron Man thing. You know, right? There's like the Iron Man thing, which I like that too, but that it's not like that. It's the, it's like the two metal balls that you just kind of, they usually have, if you ever go down to like the fancy makeup section of Saks,
right,
they'll have like a bunch of them, like these weird like metal ball things that they put on the like ladies' faces. But they have they have them at like the fancy makeup stores, and they'll like put some gel on it, and then they just put them on your face, and it electrifies like the I don't know, something, but you don't feel it or anything, but it's just like, I guess it does something. It puts like micro currents of electricity underneath the skin.
Doesn't that, like, I think that's like to promote new cell growth, right? Like stem cells. Yeah. I mean, like, that's like they zap those things, or if you have like weird muscle things, they put those electrodes to like get the blood flow going and bring the blood. Yeah. Yeah. All right. Yeah. I think you look wonderful. So I can see you in the screen. So I think it's doing wonderful things.
I'm enjoying that. I mean, it's just like, since I have the time, I'm feeling like, oh, well, that's something that I can do. So I really like doing that. And I'm doing a lot of sheet masks because I have like a backlog. Because whenever you go to buy like any sort of beauty stuff in Koreatown, you get like a shit ton of sheet masks for free. So I'm doing every sheet mask under the sun, watching all my Humphrey Bogart movies and crying. And so that's a good thing. Those are the habits I think I've picked up. And cooking. I'm not a good cook. And I really, no, I don't like it. I mean, I do, but I'm sick of it. I want to go to a restaurant.
Oh, me too. When you were growing up, because when I was growing up, the reason probably why I don't like cooking is that, my mom cooked three meals a day, basically three hot meals a day, always Korean food for dinner. And I was like the helper and had to clean up. And so she spent all of her time in the kitchen. I feel like I only remember my mom standing in the kitchen and like cleaning up or like making food. So that's why I have an aversion, I think, to it. And I was like, I can cook because she kind of taught me, but I'm like, I always was like, I choose not to. So I was very proud in my 20s living in New York City that I had like in my fridge Diet Coke and maybe a bottle of soy sauce. And that is it. Like I just never had stuff, you know?
Yeah.
So I'm trying to learn to.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
I mean, it's like, I don't want to cook. I mean, it's like my dad cooked like one time, you know, and made such a production out of it. You know, like the fact that like my mom would always cook and always clean and, you know, having to help. I got really resentful about it. And then, you know, it was a badge of honor to not have to cook. And not have to clean. And that, you know, to be modern and to be just so liberated, like, you know, to be a woman's liber and not have to do any of that kind of stuff was important. But, you know, like I do like the idea of being able to.
Right.
And if you want to cook something delicious, that is nice, too. I mean, I can make something delicious and I can make good kabi.
Right. Okay.
And good mantu. And I don't make very good kimchi. My kimchi is not very good.
Right. No, I've never even attempted. Like, I've only been like, I probably could maybe suffer my way through, but not, I don't know. My mom bought me one of those Korean-American cookbooks, and I don't even know where it is. So, I mean, I did buy rice, though. I have, like, missed it, though, because I was like, oh, I should try. But I don't have a rice cooker.
Oh, yeah. I have a couple of rice cookers, but I would just rather go. There's a couple of good places around me. I think, you know what, I just love to... I love to just go to like a Korean place and like have them make it. And it's also so stinky when you make it at home.
Yeah.
Everything smells and then your refrigerator really stinks.
Yeah. My parents had a second refrigerator out in the garage. My mom still does, which is where you put the kimchi. So it doesn't like make this refrigerator. And so I have a tiniest little jar that I bought, you know, of kimchi right now. And my husband like duct taped it around and then double bagged it with Ziploc. And I'm like, I can still smell it like emanating into the fridge.
It just stinks. It makes everything else smell. It's so good, but it's so stinky.
Yeah.
It's just so stinky for everything else. But it's really, I mean, it's just, I think when you start to get into the big gallons, like you can't contain it.
Right.
Then it's just like, it's too much. But that there's nothing so good as to like go to like the Korean restaurant where they can. I'm like too scared to get it as hot as it needs to be too. Like I can't really like get my grill or oven as hot as it needs to be to really char the kalbi hot enough.
Right.
You know, like I need to get like, I have to just be brave enough to make the griddle hot enough. Right. Yeah. I mean, those are the things that I'm not brave enough to do as a chef. You have so many books. Like, this is like the ideal, you know, like Muksanim house.
Right.
You know, it's like a very like Muksanim. It's very like, scholarly, like, are those all your books?
Those are all the books. Yeah. It's like this like restoration hardware, 9 foot long. It's one huge unit, like library shelves that go all the way up. And then we have two more bookshelves on the side. Like I'm like a huge book reader. And then my husband writes as well. And so we're both are big readers. So we have so many books. And that's the only thing I'm buying during the pandemic, food and books. And then I bought a treadmill and that's it. Like, no, I have done zero shopping and I'm a big online shopper of like, you know, clothes and things.
Everything. Yeah, of course. Yeah. Of course. I mean, it's hard. It's like, you know, just because I never feel right buying anything now just because I'm such a huge shopper too, but it's just, I've rejected buying anything new for a couple of years. I buy pretty much only like secondhand or third hand or resale or whatever, but I still buy a lot of stuff.
Right.
But, now I've just kind of like bought nothing for a while, no matter what it is, just because I feel, except for food, because I feel like I don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah,
it's just
exactly.
Weird.
And yeah, you're like, I don't know why I would buy new shoes because I'm not wearing any shoes right now as it is.
I haven't worn shoes in so long. It's like, I'm not going anywhere. I'm not like, I haven't put anything on my feet in so long. It's so weird. I've had the same tank of gas.
Right.
For three months.
I know.
So
totally.
So weird.
We have,
it's
like,
so weird.
Since we have to walk Gemma outside since we're in an apartment, we put on, we have, like, a whole routine of, like, outdoor clothes. There's, like, a whole protocol that we do. Like, outdoor clothes, walk the dog, come in, sanitize hands, take off clothes, go wash our hands. I mean, it's, like, a whole routine and stuff. But, I mean, that's mm-hmm. one pair of shoes, and, like, I'm circulating between 8 pairs of sweatpants. I have not put on anything with, like, a waist, which might not fit, actually, right now, considering. Because, you know, in the very beginning, I was like, oh, this could be the end of the world. Junk food city. Like, who cares? No one's going to see me anyway.
Yeah, I don't care. I mean, I'm so pleased to just, like, and yeah, none of that. I don't know, like, what is going to happen or when it's going to be over or what's going to go on. I mean, do you have any sort of sense of, like, what happens from here, or when things are going to get back to a sense of normalcy, or if what, when do you think?
Just from what I've read, and I mean, and then my brother's like a doctor and a cardiologist, MD, PhD, who lives in Philly. So, I mean, I talked to him, and like, it might be that Korean thing. We definitely go to worst case scenario a little bit. So I'm definitely feel like it's going to be a while. I just really, all the states opening up, I just think there's going to be a second wave and a third wave. I mean, I've talked to people mm-hmm. like in, you know, Hollywood who are working on shows and Zoom rooms, and they have production schedules, you know, trying to start in July. And I'm like, not a chance. Like, I don't believe it. I mean,
right.
I just think it's going to be so difficult to do that in a safe way. And like, you know, the problem is everything what they're saying. They don't have the right tests, the antibody tests. I don't know if that works. So I think it just, I don't know. I think it could just go on for a while. I mean, my husband hates the term the new normal, but I was like, I don't know. I think this is going to be a very big change for a very long time, sadly.
Yeah.
You know? And I'm trying to get used to that. I think it's that part of like acceptance. I think that's why we were so mopey. So when I see people who are like never talking about it and all happy on Instagram, I'm like, it's so odd to me, but I'm like, everyone has a different coping mechanism. That's what I'm thinking of it. I'm like, my husband is cleaning obsessively. I mean, he was always kind of the big cleaner of the two of us. So it's great that it works out for me. But like, that's like his main coping mechanism. Like, he'll really go into it. Like, I think he's doing it. And then like, I can tell when I need to like escape and just read a book and lay in bed literally like all day and just play a game on mm-hmm. my phone. So I think it's just like, however you can get through the day is a win.
You know, but we have different ways of coping, because I do think that this is going to last a long time. Like, I do think it's not an easy or fast fix. I feel like this was a long time coming, and it was something that it also something could have been prevented. But it's something that we have had a lot of opportunities to deal with. But it has a lot to do with like climate change and lots of stuff that we needed to pay attention to in a lot of other ways that we didn't. But it's like, yeah, I do think that there's a lot that needs to be done. And I do think that there's a couple of waves of it as well.
Yeah.
And as far as production is concerned, I think that that's like, yeah, July does not seem...
realistic.
Yeah, because it's like there's so... I mean, production is like, that's so many people. And so many people in close quarters. And I think that's too soon. But yeah, who knows?
Yeah, it's so many moving parts. And there's insurance and unions to deal with and to think about. And I read that like David Arquette is trying to do this movie in Arkansas. But like it's a ghost town already. So then, you know, they have a whole process where they're going to fly everyone. Everyone will quarantine for 14 days alone there. And then start trying to shoot, but then like with temperature checks and all these things. But it, I'm like, that means that you have access to that many tests to be able to test everyone every 3 days. You know what I mean? And that's the problem. We have a shortage and you just don't know. It's just eventually going to kind of go everywhere.
I'm really impressed though with the way that Korea got through everything. And I mean, Korea is amazing. Like they really did do this whole thing right. If they did anything right, the pandemic was really kind of, They sort of dealt with it very, very handily.
Yeah, they got an A for sure. Yeah, I was like, they're very efficient. I was like, it does all the skills that like Koreans have, which is like super hardcore, fast working, very efficient, like figuring it all out. Lots of, you know, streamlining and working together and like, and then like listening to like the elders, like, you know, because that's the whole sort of hierarchy structure, which is like their president or all their leaders are saying this and then people do it like the same way we were raised as kids, right? Like I never talk back, yeah. I never whatnot. So I was like, and it really shows with their numbers where ours are embarrassingly terrible and high.
I know. And they're very impersonal. Like they're very like nothing personal, but we're not going to like, you know, they were like not, nobody was offended by anything.
Right.
They were like, oh no, you know, it's not personal. It's like, we're just like going to do this and it's like not a big deal. It's like, everything's fine. It's going to be fine. It's going to be fine. And it's just like, they got through it. And, you know, everybody here is like very like touchy and like angry and like personally offended. It's like, so nothing's personal. It's okay. It's like these viruses are, they're not, nothing's personal. It's, it's weird how everybody has to just get so like mad and I don't know.
It's like
it's also crazy.
Like this is us versus like a scientific thing. And the only way to beat it is not by getting mad and yelling at something. You can't fix anything that way. It's like it is. It's very like a scientific way of like, this is what we need to do. Here's the pattern. We are good at homework. Everyone will follow instructions and let's just do it. You know, because you have exactly what you said, because we have to. And then they're not offended. Right. And it's not, you know, it's just like what we need to do to move on or move forward.
Yes.
So,
yes. But I think, you know, we'll get through this and we're getting through it. And actually, you know, it's like this is a good time to remind people that there's lots of things that we can do and we can also enjoy wonderful things like your books.
Oh, yes.
Wonderful things like your writing, which is wonderful. And people should go out and get your books. Now, this is great. And then the sad thing is that you couldn't go on your book tour, but you can reach people and you can still get to people with this interview and also all your stuff that's out there. And so you have lots of different stuff going on. Like, I mean, even though you're not doing a book tour, you're still going to be like doing like, you're doing stuff like press stuff online, aren't you? Like some things
online?
Yeah,
I've done a couple like Instagram like interviews with different, like the thing that's so interesting about this book, it came out on March 3rd is like, I never really knew about the whole Bookstagram world on Instagram. Like there are so many book lovers that post so many pictures of covers and books and like with hashtags. And it's just like something I never really knew about because I mean, I wasn't that big on Instagram before. I actually joined Instagram because of the book. Like my publishers are like, young adult authors or authors these days, they really need to go on Instagram. And I didn't join just because, you know, not that I'm anti-social media, but more I'm a huge procrastinator. So the more things I have to like goof off with, I won't write. So I'm like, I'm worried about anything like that I can like waste a lot of time on. So I like just didn't do it for, you know, for years. So I only joined as soon as I sold this book, I joined Instagram and I was like, oh, so I really only kind of do the book. But it's been kind of a great thing to see. Like, so now I've seen pictures of my book, like all over the United States, you know, from every state, and it's been released in like Amsterdam right now, and it's in Australia, and then the UK version came out, and they're translating the Russian version, but it's not out yet. But I mean, it's just incredible to see it like globally the book cover all over the world, which as an author, all my previous books, I never got that opportunity. So that's been really kind of like gratifying. So yes, my tour did get canceled and I'm luckier than most. I had like 1 week, like I had that event in Los Angeles, the party that you were unable to go to because you had the Masked Singer event. Mm-hmm. That I was like so worried in the beginning. I was like, what if my party was a super spreader event? But it wasn't, because it was like 85 people and we were all crammed in, and that was March 4th. So like that was right at the beginning of everything. And then my last actual event, then I flew to Texas for like a festival that didn't get canceled. And then I was in New York. I did a Strand book event on March 9th. And then like,
oh, wow,
50 people showed up. And some people, some of my friends canceled, but I got to see all my closest friends in New York, which was incredible.
Oh,
and my husband's
great.
Family came. So I was like, oh, I kind of had a last hurrah before everyone panicked. And then we flew back and then like went under lockdown. So I did have that opportunity. So that was good.
Oh, that's great. And at the Strand. I mean, what
I know,
a dream.
I love the Strand.
I love the Strand. I mean, what a great place. Like the Strand bookstore, Powell's Books, those
are those
the
are my
legendary.
Two favorite.
Yeah, those are my favorite bookstores, I think, in the world, you know, of places to those two and probably City Lights in San Francisco. Those are the places that you'd want you to spread your ashes when you die. Like those are the places to, you know, that it's like, but yeah, the Strand in particular, it's a great place to have a party, and that, you know, it's a great place to, you know, launch a book. And so that's your, the most recent party, you know, like that's a good way to end a little bit of a little book tour and then have a little hiatus. So,
exactly.
You know.
So that was it. Right. And so now what's weird is that I was right in the middle of finishing the second book. Like I wasn't planning on doing a sequel, but then the publishers got early, like noticed that it was doing that. The sales team were like, oh, people are very interested in this, and it was selling in very well. So then they asked about me doing a sequel to the book. So I started writing that, and it's overdue right now. But it was almost done right before my book came out in March. So like by the end of February, it was close to being done. And then I come back and now the world's radically different. And obviously the first 4 weeks, I couldn't write at all. But my question to the publishers, I was like, are people still going to want to read this book? Like, I mean, do you know what I mean? Because it's going to come out next year in the middle of who knows what will be happening next year. And it's clearly going to be pre-pandemic. You know what I mean? Like it's clearly right. About 2019 or this time right before. So I was like, they really believe, they're like, people still want escapism. People still want to read that stuff. So they're like, you should finish. And I was like, okay,
absolutely.
But should I mention the bit? They're like, no, let's just go as according to schedule. But I'm curious. So, I mean, I have no, I guess we'll find out. So I'm trying to finish that right now.
Yeah. Oh, that's great. That's great. I mean, because I think that's definitely true, because I think you're going to want to write it as I think that, you know, people want to get away from it,
right?
You know, and in the world of the book, it hasn't happened yet,
right? Yeah, exactly. I was like, because sometimes I use a lot of slang, like teenage slang and like references to designers and things that are very current. And I did see on Instagram, because I can't help but read reviews sometimes, where they're like, oh, this is going to get dated very quickly, some of these things. But to me, I was like, I'm writing about a very particular time. Like I, you know, it was like Coachella of last year that I went to with like Billie Eilish was there and whatnot. So I referenced all of those things. So now in a way I was like, oh, well, it won't really be dated in the same way, because it'll just be like the end of pre-pandemic or, you know, basically.
Right.
So, I mean.
No, I mean, but it's exactly right. Like if somebody was writing a book about like, say, Monterey Pop in 1968, I would want them to be talking about seeing Janis Joplin.
Right.
And, you know, Jimi Hendrix, or, you know, if they played there, you know, like somebody was talking about Woodstock. You know, whoever was playing The Summer of Love, you know, you would want them to be talking about exactly who was there.
Right.
So it would make sense that you would be talking about the same in Coachella in the same way. So
right.
It doesn't date it. I mean, if it dates it, it dates it because it's a historical reference.
Yeah,
not
now,
because
for sure.
I think like if you're talking about something like about Y2K in 1999, I think it's genius. Like, I'm like, oh my God, I want to read everything about Y2K. Like, I think anything about, like, Paris Hilton or Don Ed Hardy shirts or, like, anything of that sort of era is so brilliant and genius. Like, anything, like, sort of pre-Britney shaving her head is really, right. really good. So it's like, you know, I really appreciate things that are of the time in the time. So
right.
it doesn't date it. It just, you know, it's there. It's supposed
right.
to be there.
Right. Yeah. That Y2K thing is so I do remember all that panic of like, oh my God, it's going to be the end of computers. And they had so much hype and then nothing happened. So I was like, oh, it's so interesting. Because this one started out so softly. And like, I mean, we weren't making fun of it by any means at the end of February, but I wasn't reading that much news anyway, right before the book and stuff. I mean, I was very distracted. So I kept hearing about it, but I really didn't necessarily take it seriously until all of a sudden it is a weird thing that everyone all over the globe is talking about one subject. It is mm-hmm. a very weirdly unifying experience, which yeah. is why I feel like everyone shouldn't take it personally and be so much nicer to each other and like empathetic about like however everyone's dealing with it and just be more accepting. I was kind of hoping for that, but I don't know if it's really happening.
I know. Well, maybe they will be someday. We will someday. Well, thank you so much. I love you. I'm so glad that we got to talk. Can you tell people what your Insta is? Well, tell people what the book is, where they can get it, where they can see you, where they can find you online, your handles, etc.
Okay. The book is called Anna Kay. And it is a modern reimagining of Anna Karenina by Tolstoy. It takes place in New York City in Greenwich, Connecticut, among very, very wealthy teenagers. So there's a lot of, you know, it's a lot of soapy, frothy fun. It's very, like, high-end, and there's a lot of drama, like the fictional drama, which is what I prefer over this real-world stuff. My Instagram is at Jenny Lee Writes. There's a website of jennyleewrites.com that has information about the book. The audiobook is on Audible, and Jenna Ushkowitz from Glee is the reader, which was really fun. I was really happy they wanted to pick a Korean person to do, an actress to read the book for me. So, and that version's great. I was even listening to the audiobook too, basically, because it's fun to have your own words read to you.
That is so cool. I love it. It's taking over my dreams, waking me out of my sleep. I think I'm coming apart.
The Margaret Show is an Erios production with editing by Tracy Levy and original music by Garrison Starr. Never miss an episode of The Margaret Show. Subscribe on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen.
Erios. Powered by Acast.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to one full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.